acknowledging the amazing job these guys are doing, having set up. I guess all that was involved, and Christine and the guys in setting it up in here, I think this is quite remarkable that it actually all works. Fantastic. So this morning we're up to the phrase, give us this day our daily bread. And as I've been thinking and just kind of holding those phrases over this week, one of the things that struck me pretty quickly is, compared to the context when Jesus said those words, how disconnected we've actually become from our daily bread and from our food sources. And that got me thinking about a whole bunch of things. And one of the ones that came to mind pretty quickly, some of you will know well, is from an episode of Panorama, a BBC show in 1957, where... Well, you just may know it because it's one of the most famous April Fool's Day jokes of all time, where they produced this news report about the spaghetti crop in Switzerland and complete with very serious commentary. They talked about that it had been great that the spaghetti weevil hadn't gotten to the crop, and they had all these shots of people harvesting the spaghetti and the sort of conditions you needed for spaghetti to grow to the optimum length in order for you to eat it. And they did that partly as a kind of commentary on, in the UK, just people had this tin spaghetti and had no idea where it came from. And the thing that I loved about it is millions of people saw this, and apparently the next day there were hundreds of people calling the BBC just wondering how the crop was actually going, and a number of people wanted to know how they could grow spaghetti in their own yard, which the BBC, their standard reply was apparently, which I thought was just delightful, was if you got a tin of spaghetti and just put some spaghetti in it standing up and just put it in the corner and see how it went. And I just have this image of these people in the UK with the kind of jar, the tin in the corner, just hoping it would grow. And I think in 1957, I guess back then, people weren't as sophisticated as we are, which then led me to a study in 2017 in the US, similar kind of issue. And one of the questions in this food study was, where did chocolate milk come from? 7% of adults, these aren't kids, 7% of adults said that it came from brown cows. Yeah, no, they're Americans. But now that's a really good question, Rach, because I love these, because we've got the UK, silly English people, we've got the US, but we are much smarter than that, right? In 2016, Medibank, along with Stephanie Alexander Foundation, which had a similar issue, spoke to a whole bunch of 5 to 12-year-olds, so primary school-age kids in Australia. And a quarter of just... There were a whole lot of findings from it, but the ones that struck me were that a quarter of the children, 1 in 4, just in case you're not great at maths, did not know that butter comes from cow's milk, that apples and bananas are grown on trees, that potatoes are grown underground, or that tomatoes are grown on vines. 1 in 4, primary school. Now, I would venture if we went back 300 years, kids would have known that stuff, because their food wasn't something that just came from the store. So today, when we're talking about give us this day our daily bread, it strikes me that one of the struggles for us and one of the important things that we want to sit with is even getting to the place that God is the one that provides all of these things for us. And so that's today where I guess I want us to talk through as we think through this passage and what that means for us. So can I pray and we'll get into it. Lord God, we are so conscious, even from what we have sung and said and prayed for this morning, that we are dependent on you. And yet, Lord, there is so much that causes us to think that we don't need you. Lord, this morning I'd ask, as I speak and as we continue to sing and be together, that you would speak to us and remind us of who we are and who you are. that you would use this time to shape us to be the people that you called and created us to be. Amen. And so equally, one of the things that strikes me about this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, and the sheer brilliance of it, is it strikes me, if I was in one of the refugee camps in on the Syrian border, in Lebanon or in Jordan, I would say these words very differently to someone sitting in Seaforth, wouldn't I? I would be trusting and pleading with God that he would meet my needs for tomorrow. Equally, I think part of the brilliance of this prayer and of these words are that they are like a stark reminder to us that speaks into our culture that we need God and that all that we have actually comes from him. They're words that speak through and break through the illusion of our self-sufficiency, don't they? That knowledge, as we explore that, is supposed to change how we understand who we are and what we have and what we do with it. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favourite English preachers from a while ago, said this. He said, the more I study this prayer, the more I believe that if I only used these phrases as our Lord intended them to be used, there is nothing more to be said. He said that before he preached about it, say, look, seriously, who am I to add to these words of Jesus? If I just prayed these and did them, that would be enough. And it reminded me of the first week when Christine spoke. If you were here, you might remember, she said, we're speaking about our Father, said, speaking to God is the most powerful thing we can do, and challenged us, do you believe that? Do you remember that? And challenged us to how it would change the way that we pray and how we understood what God was doing if we actually believed the words that we pray. And I think that's true for us as we look at this passage or these words this morning. What I wanted to do is exactly what we've been doing up until now, is just almost kind of suck the marrow out of each one of these words. Each word is just so kind of pregnant with meaning for us. So even if we start with the word give, I don't know if it strikes you when we say this prayer, when we get to the word give, it's a pretty dramatic shift in tone, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us. The thing that strikes me that I love, there's not even a please. There's not even some kind of obsequiousness that you would expect if, you know, this was being said in the court of a king. It would be, you know, some praise of the king and how fantastic he was. And then, and because you're such a great and noble God, then you would see fit to do none of that. It's just straight in. Give us. And it's not even, you know, we're going to butter him up by using, we'll start with the spiritual stuff. No, we're going to start with, can you give us the stuff that we need each day just to sustain us? That we start straight there says so much about what Jesus wanted us to understand about what our God is like, that we don't need to do all of that. We don't need to butter him up, that he is a God who is both willing and able to meet our needs. That's where we started, right, with our Father. We are coming to someone who is willing. Romans tells us that God has already given us his Son. Jesus elsewhere in Matthew 7 and Luke 11, God delights to give good gifts to his children. Elsewhere, when Jesus encourages us to pray, he invites us, remember, to ask him for anything. So this is a God who is willing, who asks us to ask him, tells us to ask him. But not only is he willing, as important, he is able. It's our Father in heaven. He's not one that's limited by the same limitations that we are, so we're to ask him, give us this day our daily bread. James tells us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And I love this in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." This is the one to whom we're approaching, saying, "Lord, give. Lord, would you give the one, our Father in heaven, for whom nothing is impossible?" The second thing that strikes me as I've been sitting with this, which I think should have struck me before, is particularly in Matthew, where this comes right after Jesus' instruction to pray. And he tells, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites out in front of everybody. Go into your room on your own. You know this passage immediately before the Lord's Prayer. But he doesn't instruct us to say when we're praying on our own behind the closed door, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Does it strike you how significant it is that God is encouraging us when we pray that to give us our daily bread? This is an invitation, even at its core, to community. This is an invitation for us to recognize that God is here in the midst of us. He is not just for me, but for us. That we're called together as community, and that community is enriched not when I have daily bread, but when we have daily bread. This is, strikes me, that a really kind of subtle, sneaky way of reminding us that our God is a God of justice. He is a God about us all having daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. The this day part of it reminds me of manna, and the just enough for today. And doesn't the this day just fly in the face of all of the superannuation ads and all of the instructions about planning for your future? Can you imagine how different our world would be if our perspective was, Lord, give me enough for this day? No, seriously, not the day after. I don't want you to give me enough for the day after, because if I have enough for the day after, then I might forget that it's coming from you and I might think it's all about me. So no, just enough for tomorrow will be great, because that'll sustain me, and then at the end of that day I'll be reaching out to you again. I've been thinking about this and almost daring myself over the week to I'm really trying to just ask you for enough for tomorrow, but do that knowing that if God gave me nothing tomorrow, I don't know about you, but there's enough stuff in my fridge. I reckon I could make it last a week without even going to the shop. So there's still got to be some shift there to acknowledge that, no, today, God, would you give me all that I need? Today, God, I want to recognize that even though I have food in my fridge and food in the pantry, that this is from you. And as soon as I start to recognize that, it should start to change how I treat it. Because it's not mine, it's God's. He's just entrusted it to me for a period. He has given me all that I need. I've really been trying this last week and a bit or so, you know, knowing that I'm speaking about this, to start each day and to start each meal as we sit and we pray and just to acknowledge, God, this is from you. We had a funny, last night we were giving thanks as we do, and April had made buffalo chicken wings for dinner. It was very easy to thank God for those. And I think I'd prayed and, you know, thank God for April who'd made it for us. And I said amen, and then Taylor chimed in with, and Costco. Okay, I think we need to go a bit further back. But just that pausing, let's acknowledge that, yes, what we've got today comes from him. And then the last thing that I'm thinking about is this, the significance that it's bread. I mean, Jesus could have chosen any foodstuff, I guess. But bread, of course, in his day was so symbolic of the sense of community, that if we came together, we came together to break bread, was that we were eating and talking and drinking and celebrating and being together. It's also, at its core, just a basic... I assume they didn't have caviar back in Jesus' day, but there's nothing rich about bread. Is that kind of daily sustenance type food. But it also strikes me that it's not something you just go and pick off a vine. Bread actually takes a fair bit of work if you've made your own. It actually takes work to make bread. And I wonder how much of that was Jesus also wanting to remind us that we're not just to be people that hang back and wait for him to do everything. that part of the give us this day our daily bread is an invitation for us to work with God with what he's doing. I remember a time in this church when there was a sense, and it seems to strike particularly adolescent boys for some reason, about the time when it gets to homework where they go, no, I'm just going to trust God for this. Like, I don't want to just honour him by working really hard. You go, no, that's, I'm pretty sure he wants us to actually engage with this and to acknowledge that he has given us everything we need, but then entrust us to work with him on that. The 2 Thessalonians, of course, picks up that when Paul says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. I'm going to start using that verse at home a bit with my kids. And so God supplies our daily bread as we work with him. He also supplies it through the generosity of others, doesn't he? As we open ourselves that, no, I need God to supply my daily needs. And sometimes God does that through my community, through providing meals and standing with me and saying, not just in a material way, but through the material provision of things that we need, we are with you. We are with you. And the thing that I've found that I guess I wanted to encourage you to try and sit with this week, as I've started each day with this, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, it's had two significant impacts for me. The first is growing a sense of thankfulness that, God, you have actually supplied my daily bread, God, in an abundance, and rather than a sense of hoarding or protecting, has produced in me a sense of thankfulness. The second that it's helped grow is a generosity, because from thankfulness, from that God provides, I don't feel like I've got to hold on and protect my future quite as much as it did the week or so before. And so I guess I want to challenge you this morning. Just for this week, give us this day our daily bread as you eat, as you start the day, just to allow that phrase to percolate, to allow it to grow, a thankfulness, perhaps a generosity. But as Martin Lloyd-Jones said, just to dwell on that one word, that one phrase, and allow it to change you. Because I'm quite confident as we've gone through, each phrase of this prayer is so powerful. It's so beautiful not to rush through it, isn't it? I hope you've got enough time before you eat your 3 meals a day. I hope you've got enough time before you have your first coffee, before you go to bed at night. Give us this day our daily bread, and to acknowledge the giver of all good things, and allow that to change us to be the people that he created and called us to be. Now, we're going to celebrate communion in a minute, which in a sense to me is a beautiful connection as we break the bread in a very symbolic sense of that final meal that Jesus had with his disciples. And we're going to acknowledge that God meets our physical needs. But in the 2 weeks coming, we're also going to acknowledge that he is the one that meets our mental or psychological, our spiritual needs, that he is the one that meets all of the basic requirements that we have. Particularly this morning, we remember that God so loved the world that he gave. The one that we're asking to give gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This morning, we remember that God has already given his only son. And it is because of nothing that we have done to deserve it. This morning, we're going to pause and remember that on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciple and said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And then likewise, after supper, he took the cup and again giving thanks, he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. And Paul tells us that as we eat and we drink, we proclaim the coming of his kingdom. And friends, one of the ways that we proclaim that is by allowing his Spirit to touch us and to change us and to live differently. So can I encourage you as we come and we take and eat and drink to pause for a moment to give thanks to the one that gives you everything that you need. And then after we've taken, if you'll turn to your seats and we'll pray and then we'll continue forward. Let's do that.